Boy, that was a lame welcome. Howdy. Y'all wake up out there. Are you glad to be here this morning in God's house? Amen. Amen. I'm going to talk to y'all something about this morning that I know all of us love to do, and that's mucking out. How many of y'all know what the term mucking out means? You don't know what it means. A lot of you don't have your hands up. Let me give you an idea of what it means. Webster's Dictionary says this. The word muck, that's M-U-C-K, is dung and a decaying matter. When you muck out a barn or a stall, you're removing these things that stink up the barn. And if it's not dealt with, it can cause disease and health issues, not just to the animals, but to humans. Psalm 65:3 says this, though we are overwhelmed by our sins, you forgive them all. You know, when we confess our sins, basically God mucks out our heart. He's the one that gets rid of the sin in our lives. You know, I think today's time that most of us don't think we really sin in a daily basis. We don't think about sin very much. And it's kind of disturbing because God, when it's concerned to him, the way he thinks about sin, it's a serious matter. It's something that he really is concerned about. In Psalms 51, 1 through 4, David says this. He says, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say. And your judgment against me is just. You know, this is David talking to God here. He's asking him to act basically muck out his heart. He realizes that what he has done is sinned, not just on himself, but he has sinned against God himself. You know, that doesn't mean that he doesn't realize that what he did was bad, what he did with Bathsheba, or the killing of Bathsheba's husband. I'm not talking about that. He realized the seriousness of his sin that was the way God saw it, that it was a spiritual matter. It was spiritual decay that was eating away in his inside of his body, in his heart. And the only way it can be dealt with was to confess it to God, because he's the only one that can wipe out sin, the only one. He had to repent of his sins and ask God to forgive him. You know, there's when you're asking God to forgive your sins, there's a couple of forms of repentance that we do when we ask God to help us and to forgive us that is kind of counterfeit. Y'all know what a counterfeit is. It's something that says it's one thing, but it's really not. One of them is like this. When you're in your sin, you know you're a sinner, and you come to God and you go, God, you know, it's like this, Lord, I've sinned, and, you know, I'm sorry I got caught. Or another response would be, Lord, I've sinned, and, you know, I hope next time I do better. I hope I don't sin that way next time. I hope I do better. These two things show no remorse whatsoever. Talking to God, none. I just faded out. That's the devil. The devil's trying to work on me, y'all, so y'all be praying. He don't want this to get out. Real and genuine repentance involves several things. One of them, we have to confess it to God. Not just, Lord, I'm sorry for the mistake I've made, but I've sinned against you. That shows true repentance, and it shows that you feel true guilt for your sin. And we need to realize that when we sin, it's against God. David said, "Against you and you alone, Lord, have I sinned." He said that for a reason. And, you know, and it doesn't mean, like I said, that he didn't think about Bathsheba. How many times have we got caught in sin and we said, "But Lord, you know, it wasn't all my fault. You know, she or he or so-and-so helped out. I wouldn't have never went there if I hadn't run into this guy." Come on now, quit it, devil. It never would have went that way. Not once did David say, "Lord, this is Bathsheba's fault. If she hadn't, if I hadn't walked out on that balcony and looked down and saw her bathing, this would have never happened, Lord. I would have never had her, and I never would have killed her husband." He never did that. He never put the finger of blame on somebody else. He brought it all to himself and himself alone, and he knew it was his sin problem. You know, but what happens when you let sin go too long unconfessed? You think there's any consequences? There's a lot of consequences when we sin and we don't immediately get it right with God. See, here David, he thought everything was going good. He had almost completely put his sin out of his mind. And God had to send a prophet, Nathan, to him and to confront him with his sin. And as soon as Nathan brought it to him, oh man, Nathan was telling the story about how this man had done this and had her husband. He says, "What do you think we ought to do?" He said, "Well, he ought to be killed. That sucker, I'm telling you, he ought to get the book thrown at him." He said, "What's his name?" He said, "It's you." David, oh, you know, he immediately confessed his sin before God. But there was consequences for his sin. The child that him and Bathsheba had died. That was because of his sin. And on during his life, different things with his own sons rebelling against him came from his sin. You know, discipline is for the purpose of getting us to change and to turn around. God had to discipline him for the sin that he had committed and because he didn't obey him. The longer that we put off repentance in our life, the harsher the penalty is. That's why we should really get it quick. Get it done quick. When God brings it to your mind, and that's another thing, the devil, the scripture says the devil puts a blind over our eyes so that we do not see our own sin. Do y'all realize that? The devil does that. And when you pray to the Lord, and I don't know if you do, but I ask the Lord to reveal my sins to me because a lot of times I don't know what I've done. I know, but I'm kind of in that state where I go, well, is that really a sin? You know, if I just thought it, you know, maybe, Lord, you know, maybe you ought to just, for just that moment when I pray the prayer, God lifts that veil. He takes that mask off where I can actually see my sin. There's two things that you're going to do when that happens. One is you're going to fall down and confess your sins before God and say, "I'm guilty and I've sinned against you." The other is you're going to go, "Man, I'm glad that's over with. I don't have to think about it no more. I'll just push that back. I'll take care of that some other time." It's kind of like the dung in the stall. You know, when you've been around it long enough, you get used to the smell, don't you? It doesn't stink as bad. It gets to rotten over there, but you know, you're not in there all the time. You're not thinking about it all the time. And you can stand it for just a little while, but it just keeps getting worse and worse. And mold grows on it, and all this stuff is going on, and you're oblivious to it. You're too busy to deal with it. That's kind of the way it is with our heart. When sin gets into our heart, it starts rotting away. Sin kills, the scripture says. It leads to death. And it just starts rotting in our heart. And we push it aside and we go, we get used to that sin being in there. And so we don't think about it. We kind of push it off to the side and go, well, I'm not going to think about that right now. I'm going to think about it. I got other things I got to do. I'll get that right with the Lord later. And it just keeps festering and rotting and putting separation between us and God. Sin brings death. But through Christ, through his blood that he shed for our sins, it washes that sin away. It's because of Jesus' love that he freely laid down his life for our sin. Do you realize that? You think about, we put so little priority on sin, but Jesus gave his life for that so that we could be free of sin. And yet we push it aside and go, well, you know, I'm just going to deal with it later. The whole time it's just chewing and eating on us. And it affects our family. It affects our job. It affects everything around you. Just like muck in a barn. Sin is a serious thing to God. And please, please don't treat it lightly. During my lifetime, I've done exactly what I'm talking about. I have pushed things aside. I've just neglected them and said, you know, I know it's there, but I'm not going to think about it today. I'm going to think about it tomorrow. And all that time, it just keep pushing me further and further and further away from God. Till finally, the Holy Spirit goes, look, bud, you've gone far enough. You've got to stop. The Holy Spirit is the one that lifts that veil off. It's the one that lifts that mask off and says, see, this is what you're really like, Lynn, right here. This is what you look like. This is what God sees. I'm telling you, it's a terrible thing if you've ever done it. I know that you have, but just think right now of muck as being sin. We want to get rid of it, dispose of it, get it out of our lives. So, you know, and the thing, how do we get rid of it is we confess it to God, and he's the one that does the mucking out. He's the one that makes it clean. We don't have to do anything but confess it and say, God, I'm the one. I'm the guilty one. I did it. Please forgive me. And it's gone. There's not a big pile of it behind the barn like we do when we muck out a stall. That sin is gone forever. It's gone as far as from east is from the west. Never to be thought of again, God says. He'll never bring it up to you and go, remember, and when you do the same sin again, remember when you did that last year, No, God don't do that. God has forgotten it. Now, Satan will jack with you to no end with your sin because he wants you to stumble. He wants you to fall. He does not want you to have a close relationship with God. Mucking out our heart. It was just something that when I saw it, when God brought it to my attention, I thought, man, Lord, that's something I need to do several times a day. I thought, well, maybe I need to do it once a week. No, I sin more than once a week. Okay, well, then maybe I need to do it a couple of times. No, the Holy Spirit says, no, you sin daily and several times during the day. Think about it. Just the thought that comes across my mind that is a sinful thought. If you think it, it's the Scripture says you did it. That's what Jesus says. So, I mean, I'd have to immediately, the Holy Spirit would go, boy, what are you thinking? It's just like a whooping, a spanking. It's just like, bam, you know you're not supposed to be thinking that. You know you're not supposed to be doing that. And at that moment, I can do one of two things. I can either go, Father, forgive me for what I just thought or what I just did, or just do what most people does. What most time I do, and I push it aside and say I'll deal with it later. Man, sin is a serious, serious business to God, and it ought to be serious with us. When our heart is full of sin, we're separated from God. when we confess our sin, we draw close to God, and we can hear his voice. You say, well, you know, I hadn't heard God. When I pray, I haven't heard God speak to me in a long time. Maybe there's something in your mind or in your heart that has separated you from God, because his voice is real soft when he speaks. He could boom it out if he wanted to, but the Bible says that it's a still, small, quiet voice. How many of you heard God speak to you? I know I have. I know that voice better than I know my own. I used to not. I heard it, and I'd go, oh, that's my conscience. That's what I'd say. Oh, that's just my conscience speaking. And I'd hear it, and I'd go, I know I'm better than to do this, but dang, it's so much fun. I just want to do it anyway. It's kind of like it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission. You ever heard that? You know, guys, y'all know y'all done it. Instead of saying, hey, wife, you know, hey, do you think we ought to do this? You think I ought to do this? And she goes, you know, that's not a good idea. You say, well, I'll just go ahead and do it anyway, and then I'll just ask for forgiveness later, after she finds out I bought that new truck or that new trailer. But that's the way we do God. That's the way we do God. We want to do it, enjoy, because sin is fun. I ain't gonna lie to you. It is. Sin's fun. If it wouldn't, we wouldn't do it, right? Let's be honest. If we didn't do it, if it wasn't fun, we wouldn't want to do it. If it was painful, we wouldn't want to do it. No, but it's something that something in us is just drawn to it, to do it. God, in that small voice, says, son, daughter, you're fixing to go down a trail that's going to hurt you. Stop right now. Stop and turn back towards me. Come to me. Don't listen to the old devil, because he wants you to rot. He wants you to burn. He wants to stump your toe, your spiritual toe, if you want to call it. He wants you to fail. All God wants is you to have victory and eternal life. Amen. So when you're thinking about your heart, thinking about it is something that needs to be mucked out on a regular basis, because of why? It stinks. Sin stinks, doesn't it? It does stink. And left untaken care, if you don't take care of it real quick, you'll get used to the smell of it. You'll get used to it, and you'll push it to the side. Be faithful. Be faithful to repent, and repent often, to keep that relationship with God, because he loves us so much. He wants that relationship with us. He wants to be able to talk to us all the time. It's kind of like being married and you never talk to each other. And you wonder why you're having trouble in your marriage. You never discuss anything. You wonder why you're not having trouble with God. You never spend time with God. The only time you spend time with God is when you're in prayer and in his word. Those are the times that you're with God. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just ask you, Lord, to be with us, the sinful folks that we are, Lord. We're not perfect. Lord, we don't claim to be. We claim to be forgiven. We claim to be victorious over sin because what your son Jesus did for us on the cross, that he was willing, Lord, to lay down his life for us and shed his blood to cover over our sins and wash us clean. That's the only way, Lord, that sin can be eradicated. It can be completely dealt with and destroyed. It's through Jesus and the power that he possesses. I pray, Lord, that we would constantly have you muck out our heart, Lord. Have you reveal our sin to us as many times as we have to in a day's time, Lord, to keep ourselves pure, our hearts right, and have unity with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We want to welcome all y'all that are here at Common Ground Cowboy Church. If this